This was made by humans.
Welcome to Austin Community Conversations, a podcast featuring discussions about the interests, backgrounds, and projects animating the members of a vibrant college community. The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed are the speaker's own and do not represent the views, thoughts, and opinions of Austin Community College. The material and information presented here is for general information purposes only. The Austin Community College name and all forms and abbreviations are the property of its owner, and its use does not imply endorsement of or opposition to any specific organization, product, or service.
Welcome to The Conversation. I'm Tonio Ramirez. Each element of the complex organization comprising Austin Community College, from our IT technicians, to our lab assistants, to our faculty, custodial staff, to our senior administrators, plays a unique role in helping our students to realize their goals. But it is against that common endeavor, helping students to realize their goals, whatever they happen to be, that our collective success is ultimately measured. This episode marks the first installment of an ongoing series that we'll call the Student Success Spotlight, giving listeners an opportunity to meet real students living real lives in pursuit of real ambitions. My guest today is Parker Garcia, a recent ACC graduate who found his path to success through our college's honors program. As you'll hear, Parker didn't necessarily see himself as a quote-unquote honors student when he first enrolled, but the opportunities that he found as an honors student, and later as president of the honors student organization, led to remarkable success in his transfer goal. Let's dive in. Parker Garcia, welcome to The Conversation.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So you have just recently managed to do something kind of spectacular, and I you know, to bury the lead here a little bit, I want to offer my congratulations up front on your recent admission to Cornell University. How recently did you learn about this?
About 2 weeks ago, April 30th, okay. To be exact.
2 weeks, okay. So has it kind of like sunk in finally?
Yeah. Well, I don't know how ready I could be, right? Moving across the country, but you know, looking at where I might be living and stuff, it's starting to feel a little bit more real.
For sure. Yeah. Well, it's a tremendous achievement. But I can certainly sympathize with the prospect of moving far away and all that, but it's hopefully going to be a pretty amazing adventure. We can get to how that happened for you. But I wonder, by way of introduction, if you might just talk about how you initially came to ACC in the first place, a little bit about your background.
Yeah, so I came to ACC maybe like a year after I moved to Austin. So I was a little like familiar with the area and stuff.
Okay.
I saw some billboards of ACC's for everybody, right?
Oh, all right.
I didn't really think about it too much until my fiance was the one that told me she had taken like some ASL classes. Okay. And she had like a wonderful experience with the college. And so she knew I didn't have like good experience with my last college back in South Texas. And so she was like, you know, like give it a try. I know you've been wanting to go back into school and like, you know, do something else for yourself. And so I was like, you know, I'll give it a try. If I don't like it, then, you know, like just don't continue, right? And so I enrolled and then I took a full load of classes and I really liked the atmosphere like right off the bat. I was able to get like a lot of help like transitioning into ACC like from my last college, getting a lot of information. And yeah, it just continued from there.
All right. So I gather this was not like enrolling in ACC directly out of high school. Mm-hmm. You were returning, maybe a little bit of uncertainty. It sounds like not an uncommon experience for a lot of our students. Right. So that initial semester, you said you started with a full-time load right away. Mm-hmm. Was that kind of intimidating, like jumping right into the deep end?
Yeah, definitely, especially because I was taking a biology class.
Ah, okay.
And I was like horrible in biology all through high school. And so I made it a goal for myself, like I have to get all A's, like just so I know that I put in the work, and you know, even then, if I got all A's and I still didn't like it, at least I knew it wasn't because like I was failing at it. It was just because it wasn't for me.
Okay.
And so I wanted to give like a genuine shot at like education again.
Okay.
And you know, I rediscovered how to study and like how I was grasping material, because I was like struggling with that like prior before, like not really being able to grasp concepts. So it was a lot of experimenting like with the way that I study, the way that I take notes. Mm-hmm. And once I got that way down of, you know, grabbing information, I just kept running with it and applied it to every single class that I did.
Okay.
And then with my GPA being so high, like I was able to, you know, get into the honors program.
Yeah.
And I was able to challenge myself even more with like their way of teaching, because I feel like the way that the honors program teaches is exactly what I was trying to get out of my transitional classes, and I was just doing it on my own at that point.
Okay.
And so being able to go into a classroom and it was already, you know, that was the way it worked already.
Yeah.
Was a really good transition.
All right. So your experience prior to ACC was a bit different. Mm-hmm. Sounds like.
Yeah. It's a long story.
Yeah, I don't need all the gory details, but I mean, it sounds like maybe it wasn't as positive an experience.
Yeah, though, you know, I'm a transgender student, and coming from where I come from, very South Texas, it's very like religiously like motivated. A lot of people have like those conservative like ideals and stuff, and they're just, you know, not up with the times, I guess. And so like something simply as like, hey, I want to go by Parker and not this name, was like, if you're asking for like miracles to happen.
In your actual academic environment.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then it would always come up with like follow-up questions that would like make me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if I was just wanting them to, you know, call me the right pronouns, the right name, you know, that was taking more of a focus than like what I was doing like actually in school.
Yeah.
And so it was constantly coming up as a conversation rather than it just being like who I was and just being accepted. And so it wasn't great. I always felt like really isolated. So with this like environment always having that encounters, I kind of just like shelled myself off, kind of put myself in like a little hole and just like kind of kept to myself. And I felt like that didn't give me any room to grow, obviously.
Yeah.
And so if I didn't have like the support like around me, then I didn't have any motivation to keep going forward.
Yeah. You know, that sense of belonging, this is all kind of research that suggests like, you know, if you don't feel like you belong where you're at, it's really difficult to thrive,
exactly.
To flourish, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so you have the good fortune to see some billboards. Your fiance suggests, you know, give it a shot, and you come, you have a good first semester. And those grades apparently give you the opportunity to move into the honors program. But how did you, like, come to find out about the honors program in the first place?
I was lucky to get the email saying that I qualified for it.
Okay.
And it took me a couple of days to really like accept it, because I had gone like the National Honor Society email prior before that asking for like $90. I thought it was just like, you know, reaching out to me again. And so then I kind of ignored it for a bit.
Yeah.
And then I got the reminder like, hey, do you want to respond to it? And then I had like finally opened it and like realized that it was like the honors program like affiliated with ACC.
Yeah.
And so I went on the website, checked it out, and I saw that like, you know, you could set up a meeting with like the honors advisor at the time.
Yeah.
And I said like, you know what, I'll give it a shot, it's free, it's not gonna cost me any money, right?
Uh-huh.
And then I had that honors meeting before I even like really enrolled into classes. I was on my second semester at this point.
Yeah.
And I was looking for classes for fall and the summer.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, this is perfect timing, like, you know, registration's gonna open up anyways, like,
okay,
let me go talk to a professional, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, that's when I met Jana, the back then the honors advisor.
Yes.
And it was from then on, I always say that after meeting Jana, like, completely transformed my life.
Yeah.
Because in that meeting, she, you know, told me like, yes, you can have good grades, you have a 4.0, that's wonderful, but you're gonna wanna challenge yourself a little bit, make sure that you're able to look well-rounded and look great like on the resume, but also use these things that you're gonna be putting on the resume to build yourself up as a character and as a person.
Okay.
And she had told me that, you know, like the HSO, the Honor Student Organization, has some openings, and you'll probably be, I mean, not probably, right? She was like, I think you will be a really good fit. And I kind of like laughed like to myself, and I was just like, no.
This is before you've even taken any honors classes or anything.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
And so Yeah, she had told me that I would be a great friend, and I kept sitting on it, and I don't know why it just kept bothering me. And I was like, you know what? I'll never know if I don't try.
Yeah.
And so like the night it was due, like I submitted my like candidacy for vice president. And, you know, a couple of weeks after that, I ended up winning. And then from then, like the relationship with Jana just like kept building.
Wow.
And we just kept having more, like, it would be talking about HSO, but also talking about my classes, like you're going back and forth.
Yeah.
But she was always like that number one support for me, whether it was like wanting to explore different leadership positions or like finding help with what classes to take. And she was really knowledgeable on that.
Okay. You know, if you see me smiling, obviously on the audio, you can't. It's just that, you know, there's certain features of this that are like what we hope to happen, you know, along the line for our students. And I have to laugh, you know, like an email of all things is the thing that turns you on to meeting with Jana.
Yeah.
But apparently that works sometimes, so
right.
That's great.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe if you might talk separately about your experience as an honor student and then as an HSO member, the courses themselves. So you said that something about the way these particular courses are taught and organized worked better for you.
Mm-hmm.
Like in what way exactly?
I would say that a lot of, well, at least in my experience, the classes that I've taken, I know some of them are different, but for me, a lot of the classes that I experienced, it was like a lot of the work that you do, it's kind of like to yourself a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So like you take a lot of work home, you do a lot of the reading at home, you understand the material. And then I feel like to really lock down that knowledge is when we go back into the classroom and we're all having like the discussions about it. Cause like these classes are very like, you know, discussion based, project based. And so being able to like really prepare what I want to talk to my classmates about or like what I want to present to my class, you really have to like, you know, put in the work outside of the classroom. And I was doing that anyways, like with my other classes.
Yeah.
Because since my traditional classes was a lot of like lecture heavy, I couldn't learn like that. I have like severe ADHD. I'm like wanting to jump off the walls if I'm sitting too long. And so being able to already do what I was doing, like teaching myself the material at home pretty much, and then coming and just making sure that I locked down what I taught myself and be able to apply it to like the discussions and stuff.
Did you find, so, you know, there are of course discussion emphasis courses that you'll find among our, you know, traditional offerings.
Mm-hmm.
But did you find that these honors courses that your fellow students were also like diving in that same way? Like they showed up ready to have like serious discussions about the stuff you were reading?
Yeah. And then that was kind of a little bit intimidating for me at first.
Okay.
I felt like I was in a room with like people who were so much smarter than me.
Yeah.
And I felt so out of place. But the imposter syndrome kind of kicked in a bit.
Sure.
But then I had to really like switch my mindset of like, we're all here. Like we all like, you know, made it here. We're all like, we all have a place here and I have every right to be in this room as
well.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I kind of took that and I'm like, you know, I'd rather be the dumbest person in the room and learn from the ones around me. And I kind of just like kept reminding myself, like, you know, learn from the people who are around you, listen to like their thoughts and kind of contrast it with what you're thinking or compare it, right?
Yeah.
And so that kind of helped me out a bit, like just switching that mindset. And then it does help like hearing, you know, like these very smart people talk about what we're going through, because then it helps me understand the material better, like hearing all these different views, like, oh yeah, that also could apply to this book that we're reading, or I didn't see it that way, and now I could see how like that point that student made relates to a point that I'm making like later in the story or whatever it be.
Yeah. I wonder, so you've identified imposter syndrome, which I guess is a, you know, fairly well-known phenomenon now. I certainly have some experience with this myself in my own academic career. Did you find that your own kind of perception of yourself as, oh, I'm going to use your words here, the dumbest student in the room, did that change over time? Like, did you start recognizing that, like, no, I am a peer in this room?
Yeah. Oh, it took a while. It did. Like I said, like it took me a while to like get that mindset of like, I want to learn from these people anyway.
Uh-huh.
But it was like a constant fight, and it was also having like I took a like the speech and like the literature and like economics. So they're all different like different areas of like study.
Yeah.
And so like I'll feel like I have like the literature part down, like be able to really analyze the book that we're reading. But then I'll move on to my economics class. I'm like, oh, I'm back to feeling like the dumbest person.
Well, yeah, we can't be master of everything. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So it does take time in the beginning, right? But like I want to be in this space, right? So like I'm gonna try my hardest to be like fighting the imposter syndrome, because I want to be able to fully enjoy being in the classroom and not just fighting myself the whole time, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does. So at risk of like, you know, really pushing against this humility that you're conveying here, you eventually end up taking on like a pretty prominent leadership and I imagine mentorship role as the president of the HSO, right? So maybe you could talk really quickly about what the HSO is and what that experience of simultaneously having imposter syndrome in the classroom but moving into like a really important leadership role was like for you.
Yeah, well, I always refer to my first year with HSO as my training wheels, because going in like as VP, I felt kind of guilty, like not really knowing much about the HSO. But once I really like fully, you know, stepped in as VP, I was like, wow, this is amazing, right? But basically,
for what it's worth, my first year as a dean was a lot like that too.
So. Right, that's great. But the HSO is it's the honor student organization. Like our mission is to bring honor students together and create like a community amongst honor students. And so rather than just focusing on like the academics and stuff, like we have a lot of like success symposiums, like how to be a leadership, like leadership 101 or like tackling burnout. So we have some of those like serious symposiums that gives information to like the honor students or students of like higher achieving. Like you don't have to be an honor student to be in the HSO, but it's really just to create a space where, you know, honor students and people like-minded could be together. Cause I mean, the way that I see it is that if you surround yourself with people who want to achieve more and are pushing to achieve more, then you yourself, like you will eventually like achieve more, if that makes sense. So like you're a product of your own environment is what I'm trying to say. And so we try to have, like, you know, have events that foster that idea, but we also have like, you know, fun events like our taco bowl. It's like our yearly trivia night, and we all eat like bowls of tacos, right?
All right.
And then we'll have our like holiday party or Halloween party and things like that. And going through the HSO and being able to see that community of honor students had really helped me really like fully immerse myself with the ACC community, because you just meet so many people. You meet people who also want to be involved and you start collaborating.
Yeah.
And then it turns from like an academic program that will boost your resume to like being able to find a space and like not being stuck in a cycle of like class then like going straight home to study. Like after I stepped into like leadership roles, I was struggling to find time to myself because I had friends on campus and we would meet up and we'd be talking. And so like that was a hard transition, but it was a good problem to have.
That probably is. You know, there's many, you know, wisdom traditions that would affirm this idea about surrounding yourself with people who elevate you. But the idea there is yes, we are a product of our environment, but you can also shape that environment. You can select that environment. So it sounds like not only did you opt to give the honors program a shot, but you decided to be very active in that approach, not just like passively taking the classes and waiting to see what happens. Now, the honors program I know is connected to or can give rise to a number of really kind of interesting opportunities for students. These include things like the LBJ Public Service Program and the Chautauqua Summer Scholars. If I recall correctly, you have been involved with some of these,
Yes. Unfortunately, I did not do the service weekend because I was at Chautauqua during the time. And then I got selected for the service weekend again this year. And again, I'm going to Chautauqua during the same week. So that's one opportunity. And when I do classroom presentations, I always tell people, like, that's one opportunity I never got to do that I wanted to do, but I just didn't happen.
Yeah, there's only so much time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Chautauqua, what's that program about?
So that one is pretty much like building your social capital that brings students from all different types of backgrounds and across the country as well. And you're pretty much living with like 12 strangers in a single house, sharing a bathroom, sharing a kitchen, all
like
that.
A reality show.
Almost, yeah. But you quickly become family. I just had a Zoom call with my cohort last night, and we were all like so happy to see each other, and we all stay connected. But throughout my time there, it was a lot of lectures. And so this organization really focuses on like your interests and things like that. So I told them, you know, I'm a government major, I'm really into politics, things like that. And they decided to put me in week four, which was the week that the Brookings Institute and the AEI Institute came together, and they sent a representative every single day to have a discussion about things going on currently in the world. Mm-hmm. And so I would attend the lecture in the morning and then in the afternoon, and then the rest of the day was kind of like free for all. We had like a huge paper, like the size of me, and I'm not that tall, but like, you know, it's pretty big, right? And we kind of just highlighted the things that we wanted to go and do. And a lot of what I did was like porch talks. And okay. So I'll go to the Quaker house and we'll have conversations there, and the different denominations of religion, and go and just have conversations. And it wasn't conversations like, oh, trying to get you to turn into like our religion or like things like that. It was just mainly having conversations about what they've been through, sharing, relating amongst different cultures. Uh-huh. And so it was a really enriching experience. I say that whole week was just like feeding my brain. I felt like I came back with a couple IQ points like above. But yeah, it was really fantastic. And then I'm going back this summer more as a, like a leadership position. Okay. I'll be facilitating some co-generational conversations and helping the new summer scholars that got selected this year, bridge that gap with the different generations and help them foster those conversations.
Yeah, it sounds like a really amazing experience. Mm-hmm. And so did that kind of stem from your work with HSO and honors, or was that a completely independent thing that you had applied for?
I definitely did use my experience with the HSO and like the honors program in my application.
Okay.
Yeah. And then for this time around, during the application process, I really talked about my growth as a leader through the honors program, like going from VP to president, getting better at organizing, since this is a leadership role and I'm having to organize conversations and events over there at Chautauqua.
Yeah.
I was able to speak about my experience on there, and I feel like that's what really caught their attention, that like I think I kind of know what I'm doing when it comes to event organizing.
Yeah, it sounds like it at this point. Yeah. I've had a bit of experience. This all kind of is a 2-3 year trajectory since you first started at ACC. Okay.
Yeah.
And it culminates in this this successful application to Cornell University. Mm-hmm. If I gather, there's some significant financial aid that come along with it as well.
Yeah.
All right. Like to
I got
that.
Full ride for okay. sure, housing and everything.
Okay. All right. So like the dream manifests here. This is wonderful. Yeah. You think about like where you started. Uncertain about whether you even wanted to enroll. Mm-hmm. And in that relatively short period of time, now having this spectacular opportunity, mm-hmm. How would you describe like the most significant changes in terms of either your abilities or your confidence or your sense of yourself? And what would you say is the thing that stands out to you the most as kind of having developed or changed over this time?
I feel like I've definitely gained some more confidence in myself. I mean, of course, we all have those days that we don't feel the best, right?
Yeah.
And I may feel those a little bit more often than not, but being like an honors ambassador and going to classrooms full of like students, it'll be like at most like 30 students that I'm talking to, and it's mm-hmm. Four of those a day during the busy semesters. And I was the type of student that like my voice would shake in front of crowds. My first event as VP for the honors student organization was doing our welcome reception, and I want to say about like 100 people showed up, and I went in thinking that it was like about like 20 students that were going to be there. And then I walk into the presentation hall, it was like completely packed, filled. And I really just remember shaking in my boots. Like I felt like I couldn't like get a single word out. And so my point for that was that, like, any type of public speaking, I would just have an anxiety attack, a panic attack, and yeah. I would beat myself up over it for days or even weeks. Like, you know, when you're just like sitting driving your car and you remember that one embarrassing moment, that was me for like weeks on straight. And it finally took me just, you know, telling myself again, like, you got this, like, yeah. you need to be able to, you know, do this right. And then I, you know, continued with my ambassadorship with the honors program, doing those classroom presentations. And it was a lot of like trial and error. Like, I would, you know, rehearse what I was gonna say into a mirror for like 10 minutes straight. Okay. I would rehearse in my car, have a full transcript ready. And those things never worked. Like, and so at some point I was like, you know what, I just need to do it straight off the dome and be able to, you know, talk like if it's like nobody else, you know, like just
stand and deliver, right?
Yeah. And so having that mindset like switch really helped me. And then once I got like my first presentation down, when I had no notes, that, you know, I was just speaking from the heart, I felt so good about myself. And I'm like, okay, I want to see if I could do that again. Yeah. And then I was able to, and then being able to just to talk in front of a classroom, even if they're not listening or caring about what you have to say, being able to get that confidence a couple of times in a row, I feel like it extends to your personal life.
Sure.
And, you know, me as a student, and so like being able to, you know, present like in classes about like projects that I'm doing with like ease and calmness, it was like a really great like growth. And I feel like that was the number one thing that I wanted out of like all the leadership roles that I got, and I was able to get it for sure.
Yeah, I really appreciate you sharing that experience, because I think it can be tempting if I'm, you know, brand new, if I'm on the incoming end, right, you at the very beginning of this experience, mm-hmm. and I see the president of the HSO addressing the room, it can be really easy for me to just assume like, oh, look at this guy, like, he's born this way, you know, like I just kind of knew it. And, but like, no, that's not how it went down at all for you.
Okay? Yeah, exactly. I envy the people who could do so. I have some officers that they could just run the show and they have no social anxiety. And I admire their talent. Mm-hmm. But I'm also glad that I was able to, you know, work my way towards being a little bit more comfortable.
So this combination of putting in the work, sounds like giving yourself a shot, the support that it sounds like you have around you. So it comes together. So you have this tremendous success. And I gather that your successful application to Cornell is not the only success story that the Honors Program has to crow about this year.
Yeah.
We've got admissions. I'm just looking here at the list at Rice and Brown and Vanderbilt, Michigan, CU Boulder. This is a program that I think has a lot to offer to our students. As you prepare to, you know, move on to the next phase, I wonder, you know, if you have any hopes for what the future of the Honors Program could be. What changes or continued growth might you hope to see ACC's Honors Program have?
I would like to see, you know, students being aware of the program like straight out the bat.
Yeah.
Like as soon as they enroll into ACC, like get an email saying like, hey, we have this too.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure.
Because I would have joined like so much sooner. Mm-hmm. I would have been ready to join right after my first semester, but didn't like fully join until, like I didn't take my first class until the summer, like after I got my acceptance. And I could have taken a lot of my classes as honors. I envy the people who could take like 8 classes because they knew about it right away, and I was only able to take 3, right? More visibility for the honors program for sure. I would also like to see a little bit more like hand-in-hand events with the HSO and the honors program. The HSO only gets so much money for like our budget, and it goes by pretty fast.
Yeah, sure.
And you know, working also with the honors program, I know how fast our budget also drains. And so if there was, you know, more money, right, I feel like a lot of things could happen for sure, especially, you know, when it comes to like ambassadors and HSO officers working together. I feel like that will be a great team, especially to get like the word out for honors, because we try our best. Like we had the Let's Talk Honors, and we invited a bunch of professors. That event alone took the majority of our budget. I want to say about like 80% of our budget, and so we're not able to do those events constantly, but that's what students want to see. I had did a feedback form for that that membership meeting, and a lot of the students just want to hear from the professors. They want to hear more about the honors program and what exactly what they have to give, but we can only do so much with what we got.
So I think, you know, the outcome makes total sense, you know, a greater sense of awareness, which could parlay into more people getting involved. I suspect that if your interests continue on the trajectory of government, this idea of like more budget is going to be something that's going to occur more than once in your your future days. So on that note, so you've been a government major here. Is that what you kind of plan to continue studying once you're at Cornell?
So with Cornell, I really love that I got accepted to this major because I could really do so much with it. I had a meeting with an associate admissions director, and he pretty much told me that I could take courses from any college in Cornell, and so that could be from like the law school, the public policy school, and kind of really explore the interdisciplinary like studies that Cornell offers. And so for me, I do want to eventually go into law school, and so I'm kind of going to take that pre-law route, but I also really want to like dive into like educational policy and the law. And there's a lot of classes that, you know, explore that exact theme. And so I got my paralegal associates this last spring.
Congratulations.
Last week, right? And they really laid the foundations of all the legal concepts and gave me a lot of the vocabulary I'll need to know for like the LSAT and things like that. And being able to have that foundation, I think I'll be able to do really well in like some of the law classes at Cornell. And so I'm excited to really to scratch my brain there.
No, it's going to be a bigger pool, but one with a lot of fun stuff to play around with there. That's really exciting. Well, I hope that you will stay in touch with the HSO. You know, I know that they build pretty strong relationships with their students and former students, so I'm sure that our honors coordinator Anne-Marie Thomas will keep in touch and offer updates on how things go, but sounds like the future's looking up.
Thank you.
Congratulations. And thank you very much for the time you spent talking about your experience here as an ACC student.
Yeah, of course. I love ACC. I'll always, you know, I sent my like farewell email, I guess, like to the HSO last night. And I'm like, I'm ready to be like a mentor or peer, anything that like these students need. Like, I'm ready to share my knowledge, that whatever I got or my experience, if it can help somebody else, I'll be willing to help them. So.
Yeah, well, that's a tremendous gift that you can give back to the community. Thanks, Parker. I appreciate the time.
I appreciate you.
All right.